Well, welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, as we have been mentioning, three new Tuolumne County supervisors will take the oath of office in January following the March and November elections. Earlier in the show, we heard from Kathleen Half, supervisor-elect for District 4, and David Goldenberg, supervisor-elect for District 1. During our final segment, we're going to turn our attention now to the supervisor-elect for District 5, Jaron Brandon. Supervisor-elect Brandon, thank you for coming on today.
BJ, hello, and thanks for having me on.
Well, it's good to have you on the program. For people who don't know you, what is your background?
Absolutely. So I'm born and raised Tuolumne County local, and I'll be looking forward to representing the 5th District. For those that don't know, that's Jamestown, Columbia, Tuttletown, and west of the city limits of Sonora. I grew up in our local family business, Live Oak Music, up in East Sonora, and actually grew up also in Columbia and Jamestown with my mother, Lori Brandon, local musician. I really got into leadership experience once I went off to college and got a huge taste for just community service, civic service, really helping people out. I worked in several government offices. I worked in elected leadership roles and county boards, ran budgets. I then after that did as so many young folks do. I was trying to get a good paying job. I moved to the city for about 2 years. And even though I found it, you know, they say be careful what you wish for. In the position I got, I did a reflection on my life and realized I wanted to be able to give back, to help people, to do something that was able to change the community and be make a positive difference. I left it all behind, turned down a promotion, and actually came back to work at our shop. And the rest is history there. And couldn't be happier. I love this area, and I want to see us thrive.
So what are the main issues that you spoke about on the campaign trail?
It's primarily the fact that, you know, as a community, people come back here to raise a family because we're a nice place to live in. We're a beautiful place. And yet the opportunity to build a life here is, I think, declining. We're looking around and seeing people. A lot of folks might know I'm just approaching my 29th birthday. Many people my age flee this area because they can't find a good job. They can't find a place to rent up here. And they're frustrated. They're frustrated that it seems like nothing is changing and their issues aren't being talked about on the county board. That's initially where, with my campaign, looking around, doing a listening tour door to door in the district, consulting everybody that I knew. Three things really came up. They need to build a life here, an affordable place to live. You need to have a career job that pays a living wage enough to raise a family. And lastly, you need to have a transparent and accessible government that gives you hope that when you are inevitably frustrated by something, you got a voice, you got somebody fighting for you on there, and you can get answers when you need them. So housing, jobs, transparency, those have been the three pillars of my campaign and moving forward, my continuing three priorities.
You hear the phrase sometimes, the brain drain, when young people leave the community to go to other places. You mentioned going to San Francisco and then coming back. Are you optimistic that Tuolumne County can attract more younger people to stay here or move back here after going away for a while?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have so many things going for us in some ways. And I know there's the doom and gloom out there. We're obviously on a campaign trying to point out issues and solutions. But maybe sometimes we don't spend enough time talking about all the wonderful assets that we have. We live in a beautiful place. People would rather live here than other areas. You know, we're seeing in San Francisco, rents are plummeting as people are leaving the area. You look at the Bay Area and they build office buildings, the most expensive type on the most expensive land, paying the people the most expensive rates with the longest commutes. It only makes sense because that's the way that everybody's been doing it. And in some ways, COVID's presented this opportunity to rethink how people work and how they live. So I think if we take, pro-economic growth policies up here, pro-housing, pro-internet, if we're able to help with whether it's telecommuters or investing in small businesses or remote offices here, I absolutely think that we have never been in a better position to compete than we are at this moment right now. And the fact that this is a really beautiful place to live, we have Yosemite next door, people love living in the trees and the historic towns. We have a lot to offer in Tuolumne County.
You mentioned that your family has a small business here in Tuolumne County. Are there things that stand out that can be done to help local businesses as well?
Absolutely. That's where my lens really starts when I think about economic growth. Really, we have had new businesses come in. We have had some economic growth. But I look around, I see a Wendy's, you know, come in. I see a Joann Fabrics or a Dollar General being put in. And to me, at best, a lot of those things just shuffle money around. I don't see them as truly building our economy. Our economy is built with small business, especially brick and mortar, but also with e-commerce, online sales. So that's the lens that I look at that through. I think bringing in reliable, fast, competitive broadband internet will be a huge help, not only to our existing business owners, but to creating more opportunity up here for entrepreneurs to start their own online businesses. I think, looking around, there's a lot of resources that are underutilized, undershared. The SBDC, Muzzleloader Job Training, working with Culver's Bella at the County Business and Innovation to see how can we be partners and provide you the loans, the resources that you need to be able to create jobs and make money. And last thing is just having a voice and an ear on the board. Coming in, from a small business, my thought is always going to be, what's the impact on our local entrepreneurs and business owners who are the ones creating jobs and creating the revenue that we're able to spend at the county to keep this whole shebang running? I think they need somebody that says, I do want to listen to you and I want to hear your solutions for how we can do better.
I imagine for anyone jumping into the board, a role of county supervisor is a steep learning curve. What's kind of your plan over the coming months before taking the oath of office in January?
Catching up on 18 months of sleep, BJ. as you mentioned, even on a campaign, we're still talking a lot about ideas. We're talking a lot about meeting people, meeting groups, introductions. As I transition into the supervisor-elect and then in the future supervisor role, first Monday in January, until that time, I'm attending Zoom meetings. I actually have one today. I call it Supervisor Camp. With the California State Association of Counties, they give you several trainings on how to not get sued, how to do a good job, introductions to other electeds and that. Also be reading up on local governments, not only what they're doing in surrounding areas and some bold ideas, but ordered a few books and continuing to try and meet people and I think take these ideas from ideation to action. How do we take a platform item that we know has worked in other areas that we think will be excellent for here, for example, bringing in better broadband internet, and write out these specific steps, build the team to get it done, meet with the staff. That's all very important. And lastly, I just add an addendum on there, is meeting with the people who really do all the work and keep it going, all the county staff. I'm beginning my meetings with them to go from the here's who I am meeting to listening to, okay, what can I do to help them do better at the county? What challenges have they faced? And building a relationship, because they're critical. They're the ones that really get the work done there.
You mentioned desiring to have more of a town hall or a community outreach with your term in office coming up. Do you have any early ideas on how you like to accomplish that?
Yeah, and this has been a regular mainstay of our campaign. Transparency is one element of it. We had to pick a single word for the pillar. But really it's transparency, it's accessibility, it's communication, it's rebuilding public trust. And I think at the core of that is an old idea, but a good idea. Town halls. Now, before COVID, we were hoping to be able to do them rotating around the district, something that anybody can come in, ask me a question, give me an idea, or say, I'm ready to step up. I want to be able to help my community, Jaron. How can I get involved and be able to put them somewhere for that? With COVID, we're planning on doing those on a monthly basis through webinars on Zoom that anybody can come on, access, answer questions. We did one a few weeks ago. It went about an hour and 40 minutes. We stayed much later than we planned because we wanted to answer all of the questions, and it was a huge success. We had about 30 people show up. We need to put the public back in public service, be able to bring people to that table, and I think, increase understanding of, you know, how government works, how things get done, how people can participate. That's the only way we're going to be able to, I think, get over this feeling that many of us have that our voice doesn't matter or we don't have any control in the process. Is we need elected leaders that give us that voice and that give us that opportunity, empower us with knowledge. That's what those town halls are supposed to do.
Well, Supervisor-elect Brandon, we've run to the end of today's show. Any closing comments you'd like to make?
Well, to everybody out there, I hope you'll step up and stand with me. 18 months ago, when I started this campaign, and not a lot of people knew me. I didn't have my face on a bunch of signs everywhere. I just started with the idea that even one person can make a huge difference for their community, and it's built into something that I am so proud of, and so many people have helped join and participate. To everybody out there, these problems took a long time to be able to develop, and we're going to need everybody. If you have been thinking, I want to get involved, I want to be part of the solution, I want to make a difference, reach out to me. We will find a place for you. There are so much that needs to be done. We are a volunteer-driven community, and we need your help.
Supervisor-elect Brandon, thank you so much for coming on today. We look forward to talking to you down the road.
BJ, thank you so much. You have a great day.
That puts a wrap on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We've been hearing from the supervisor-elects in Tuolumne County. They will take the oath of office in January. In District 5, Jaron Brandon. In District 1, David Goldenberg. And in District 4, Kathleen Half. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.